Would you please stand for the reading of God's word? Turn to Matthew chapter 24. We'll read verses 1 through 3. As we gather here today, the headlines are screaming the message, quote, that Iran's supreme leader orders a direct attack on Israel. The possibility of an all-out war between Iran and Israel is a very real issue. 2,600 years ago, the headlines in the Bible written by the prophet Ezekiel in chapters 38 and 39 describe the condition of the Middle East right now exactly. The Bible describes a war between Persia, Persia is Iran, of course, and a Russian-led coalition of anti-Semitic nations that will join forces to destroy Israel. In Ezekiel chapter 38, Russia is the king of the north. All directions in the Bible are taken from Jerusalem. Straight north from Jerusalem is Russia. Let me be clear. God Almighty will crush this Russian-Iran coalition of nations. There are two major wars that are going to be fought in Israel before the end of time. And that war is the Gog-Magog War of Ezekiel 38-39, which you see happening right now, and 3.5 years later, the Battle of Armageddon, a massive army led by China, the Bible says, with 200 million people. That's going to happen 3.5 years after the Gog-Magog War. God Almighty is the defender of Israel. The Bible says, he that keepeth is a military term. He that defends Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. God said, I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you. What is God's reaction when he sees Iran and Russia gathering to destroy Israel? What's God's reaction? David records it in Psalms 2. He says, why do the nations rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth, this would be Russia and China, have set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed, that would be Israel. Listen, and he who sits in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall hold them in derision. Derision is a Bible word for ridicule, mockery. God is going to laugh and ridicule these armies that come against Israel. And then he says, he will break them with a rod of iron and shall crush them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Hello, China, Russia, Iran, Turkey. The day you lift your hand to attack Israel, God Almighty is going to crush you. Let me read the text of the morning. Jesus is talking to his disciples about the end of days. Matthew 24, 1 through 3. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all of these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon the other that shall not be thrown down. He's talking about when the Romans came in 70 AD and destroyed the temple. If you go to Jerusalem today, you'll see those stones still on the ground. Verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? Question 2. And what shall be the sign of your coming? Question 3. And what shall be the sign of the end of the age? We're talking about the sign of the end of the age this morning. Stay tuned. Father, in Jesus' name, let your Holy Spirit fill this room. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who calls the stars by name, look from the balconies of heaven and crush the enemies of Zion today. Crush them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Today, let the church of Jesus Christ prepare for rapture. For we are most certainly getting ready to leave this world. In the authority of Jesus' name, we pray and ask it. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We are currently living in the church age, which began suddenly on the day of Pentecost when cloven tongues of fire set on the heads of 120 in the upper room. The next event of God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church, when all living believers on earth will be suddenly snatched away from this earth into heaven in the twinkling of an eye. Meantime, back on planet Earth, the world will be struggling to make sense of what has happened and scramble to recover from the vanishing of millions of people. Immediately after the rapture, a group of 10 men who are world leaders will come together to form what the Bible calls the renewal of the Roman Empire. It is actually what we call the New World Order. That will happen. This new world order will instantly be formed by the Antichrist, who will come out of Europe and lead a reunited Roman Empire with a group of 10 leaders. America will yield its sovereignty to the new world as soon, but as you know it, as a globalist organization. The Great Tribulation begins at this point. Here we are as the church. The church is translated into heaven. At the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is where each of you will give an account to God of the life that you lived. You will be given a crown. There are 5 crowns that you can receive. You can tell what you did in life by the crown that you wear, just like military insignia on a military man's shoulder will tell you his rank. You will be able to know that by the crown that the people wear. First is the resurrection of the saints who have died, and then is the church triumphant. Why is the dead in Christ going first? Because Jesus comes giving the shout of victory. His victory is over death, hell, and the grave. When the last atom of the last body has been resurrected, the victory of Jesus Christ will be total over the grave. The Antichrist, as the leader of this new Roman Empire, will secure a peace accord. The world will celebrate him as the great peacemaker. The Bible says this. He will no doubt be given the Nobel Peace Prize, like Hitler. He will cause craft to prosper because that's what Hitler did. The 7-year peace treaty will lull Israel into a false security. Then, during the first half of the tribulation, when Israel has its guard down, 3.5 years after the treaty was signed, he will break that treaty, and a Russian Islamic coalition will attack Israel. This will be the Gog-Magog war that will happen right in the middle of the tribulation. 3.5 years there. Now, the back half of the tribulation is called the Great Tribulation. The war of Gog-Magog that you are seeing is a forerunner of October the 7th in Israel. That was horrific. It was horrific. Mass rape, mass murder. 1,400 were killed in one day. Children were beheaded. People were burned alive. In the coming Gog-Magog war, God will supernaturally deliver Israel by wiping out the armies of the Russian coalition. The destruction of these armies will leave a power vacuum, and the Antichrist will take charge of the world. Get that in your mind. He makes a peace treaty. He becomes powerful. Russia and Iran are destroyed by the hand of God in the middle of the tribulation, and the Antichrist charges into that vacuum to become a world dictator. He will break his treaty with Israel. The Antichrist will dominate the last half of the tribulation as he organizes a one-world government, a one-world currency, a one-world religion. He will give you the opportunity to get you his mark in your right hand or forehead. If you refuse, he will cut your head off. The Antichrist will declare himself to be God. He will set up his image in the temple in Jerusalem and demand that the world worship him as God. The righteous Jewish people will flee to Petra, where they will be preserved by the hand of God for 3.5 years until Messiah comes. On our next concept, Armageddon and the coming of Christ, 3.5 years after the Gog-Magog War. Right there at the end of the tribulation is the battle of Armageddon. It is the most vicious battle ever recorded in human history. A nation, China, bringing 200 million people to that place of battle for the purpose of destroying Israel and ruling it. The war of Armageddon and the second coming of Christ to Jerusalem to establish an eternal kingdom as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Get this picture in your mind. The battle of Armageddon is in play. A battlefield that's 180 miles long and 80 miles wide, with 200 million men on it from the east and an accompaniment of army meeting them from the west. Just as these two armies are getting ready to fight each other, Jesus Christ comes from heaven with all of his holy angels, and every believer, every one of you who profess Christ, will be mounted on a white horse. Some of you are going to have to learn how. Will be mounted on a white horse. Jesus Christ will come. His first thing will be to destroy every soldier that's on that battlefield. Instantly, he says, the blood will flow to the bridle of a horse. That's at least that deep for 180 miles. God is going to wipe Israel's enemies off the face of the earth.
As we approach a critical election season in America, we have a great responsibility as not just Americans, but Bible-believing Christians to stand up for truth, faith, and righteousness. For far too long, many believers have stood quietly by and watched on election day. We want to equip you with the tools you need to be informed and educated about what the Bible says.
For your gift of any amount to the ministry today, we will send you When the Righteous Rule, a timely handbook filled with insight on biblical positions on political issues. With your gift of $200 or more, included with When the Righteous Rule, we will also send you a beautiful wooden American flag, the Pray for America Journal, and To Save America, the Ten Commandments, a new book by Pastor John Hagee.
It's time for the redeemed of the Lord to say so, to boldly take a stand and say, enough is enough.
Call the number on screen or go to jhm.org/liberty.
Jesus Christ will seize the Antichrist and false prophet and cast them alive into the lake of fire. I want you to see, this is the lake of fire. If you leave this service and you don't know Jesus and you refuse to allow him to be the Lord of your life and you die, you're going to be with the wicked dead in Revelation 25. This is hell. This is the second resurrection, and you go to the great white throne judgment. Jesus is sitting on this throne, and he's going to ask you why you rejected him as the Lord of your life, and then he's going to cast you into the lake of fire. This is going to be your payday for the next 50 million years because you were fool enough to think that Jesus shouldn't be the Lord of your life. I just put a limit on 50 million years because you can't think further than that. Think about it. Jesus Christ died to save you. And when you reject him, he's not in heaven wringing his hands. He's giving you the opportunity. And when you pass, and you pass away, your future is so despicable, it cannot be expressed by human tongue. The 1,000-year reign of Christ now is in this millennial reign. Millennial means 1,000. Jesus Christ lands here, sets up his kingdom, and it is a kingdom that shall never perish from the face of the earth. Those on earth, when Christ returns, who do not trust in him as Savior, will be cast into hell. Satan and his minions will be bound into the abyss. At the end of the millennial, Satan will be released for a brief period of time. Get this. After all that God has done, Satan will be released from the abyss when he's thrown in it for 1,000 years, and once again lead a crusade against Jesus Christ, and he will be defeated and cast into the lake of fire forever. Some of you who reject Jesus are going to get to personally meet him. Hell and lake of fire are two different places. The final judgment after the millennial reign of Satan's final rebellion, Christ will sit on a great white throne, and all believers from every age will be resurrected and assembled before him to be judged. The Bible says of this judgment that there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Why? Because these people know they're coming out of hell to be formally sentenced to live in the lake of fire. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Just because you don't go to heaven doesn't mean you're not going to face the judgment. You're going to face the Lord someday. Those who refuse to trust in Christ as Savior and Lord will be judged according to their deeds. Since their names were not found written in the book of life, which contains the names of the redeemed, they will be cast into the lake of fire forever. Is your name in the book of life? That's the greatest question you're ever going to answer. Is your name written in that book? Have you ever asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life? I encourage you to do so because the penalty is far greater than the minds of men can fathom. If the answer is no, before this service is over, I'm going to give you the opportunity to say yes. The heavenly city is coming down out of heaven. You read it in the book of Revelation. It's a city that's 1,500 miles cube. Now, your mind grasping one city, a capital city that's 1,500 miles is a stretch, so let me help you. Start at Miami, Florida. Draw a line to Detroit, Michigan. Go left to Seattle, Washington. From Seattle, Washington to Phoenix. From Phoenix back over to Miami. That's a huge chunk of real estate. Why should I be concerned with how the Jewish people are treated? Because Matthew says in chapter 25, 40, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these my brethren, the Jewish people, you have done it unto me. God's son, Jesus Christ, who will return to earth, he will come as a Jewish rabbi. Revelation says he is the Lion of Judah. He is the Lion of Judah. When Jesus returns to earth, he's coming as a Jew, the Lion of Judah. Judah is the root word of the source Jew. Genesis 12, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Never underestimate the love of God for the Jewish people. Never. There are dozens of scriptures that tell you how much God loves Israel. 2 Samuel 7 says, and who is like your people Israel? The one nation that God went to create for himself. Not America, not Europe, Israel. That's God's favorite place. Jerusalem is the city of God because God said, I have put my name there, that I may be remembered forever. God told Moses to tell Pharaoh in Exodus 4:22, Israel is my son, my firstborn son. If you refuse to let him go, you tell Pharaoh, I will kill his son. I will kill his son. The Jewish people are a covenant people, and that covenant was for the land of Israel. That covenant is still in effect. There are 36 times in Scripture that guarantee the Jewish people the covenant to the land of Israel. They are a cherished people. They are called the apple of God's eye. They are a chosen people. The Bible says they are my firstborn. Jesus said to the Samaritan, salvation is of the Jews. Think about that. That's an awesome statement. Jesus, the Son of God, tells a woman who's not a Jew that salvation is of the Jew. Everything Christians have came to us through the Jewish people. That's what that means. When some smart aleck asks you, so what have the Jews done for you? You can start by saying, they have given us the Bible, every word written by the Jewish people. They have given us the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They have given us the first family of Christianity, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. If it had only given Jesus, it would still be everything in the world. Consider the Jewish hatred in America. The protesters in New York haven't killed anyone yet, but their hatred for the Jews is recently on display. One protester carried a sign saying, "I wish Hitler was here." Think about that, you moron. These flag-burning, God-hating, anti-Semitic garbage needs to be deported. Send them back where they come from. Anti-Semitic universities that plant the virus of anti-Semitism into the hearts and minds of the next generation need to be defunded by the government of the United States. Anti-Semitic professors and university presidents should be fired who are a part of this. This, in part, is what I said to the Prime Minister when he looked at me and said, "What do you have to say?" I said, "Mr. Prime Minister, it's time for our political leaders in Washington to butt out of Israel's war with Hamas and Hezbollah. And to permit Israel to win this war once and for all." Douglas MacArthur said, "In war, there is no substitute for victory." He made that statement to West Point cadets. Winston Churchill said in his darkest hour in England in World War II, quote, "You ask what is our aim? I can tell you in one word, victory. For without victory, there is no survival," end quote. The day America stops blessing Israel will be the day God stops blessing this country. And I want to tell you, there are people in our Congress and in our national leadership that are doing just that. It's high time to be as bold as a lion in the defense of Zion. Church of Jesus Christ, it's time to do what the Bible says to do, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Why? They shall prosper that love you. Prosper, what does that mean? I've researched the word. It means prosper. The Bible says Jerusalem is the city of God. Jerusalem is the shoreline of eternity. Jerusalem is the epicenter of the world. God is saying this. Jerusalem is where Isaiah and Jeremiah penned the principles of righteousness that formed the moral foundations of Western civilization. King David said, "If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its cunning and my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth." David played the harp. If your right hand cannot play the harp and your tongue is stuck to the roof of your mouth, you can neither play nor sing. A musician who cannot play nor sing has no reason to live. David is saying, without Jerusalem, life has lost its meaning. I want you to stand. Stand with me. I want to ask this question. There are two resurrections. The first one takes believers into heaven. The second one is 1,000 years later, when those who did not receive Christ are brought before Christ at the great white throne judgment. And you leave that place to be thrown into the lake of fire forever. I want to ask this question. How many of you here are absolutely confident that if the rapture happened before we take the communion, you're going to heaven? Let me see your hand. Put your hands down. Those of you here that have a doubt that there's sin in your life, there's something that's between you and the Lord, that you would like to receive Jesus as Christ, as Savior and Lord today, slip your hand up right where you are. There, and there, and there, and there. Raise it, please. Thank you. I want you to pray this prayer with me, with these people raising their hands. Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
in the name of the Lord Jesus,
in the name of the Lord
Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin.
I ask ask you to forgive me of all of my sins.
To cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
Cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
Come into my heart today.
Come into my heart today.
As Lord and Savior.
As Lord and Savior.
Write my name.
Write my name.
In the Lamb's Book of Life.
In the Lamb's Book of Life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
When you speak the Word of God, you are releasing the blessing of the Lord into every part of your life.
You are putting God in charge of the situation and putting the devil on notice that you are a child of the King. Stay tuned, because at the end of this program, Pastor Hagee will speak a blessing over you and your family. As we approach a critical election season in America, we have a great responsibility to stand up for truth, faith, and righteousness.
For your gift of any amount to the ministry today, we will send you When the Righteous Rule. With your gift of $200 or more, we will also send you a beautiful wooden American flag, the Pray for America Journal, and To Save America, the Ten Commandments, a new book by Pastor John Hagee. Call the number on screen or go to jhm.org/liberty.
Cornerstone Church invites you to Feast 2024, October 18th through 20th. This is an event you don't want to miss. Filled with midway games, food, free rides, and spectacular fireworks. Musical guests, Unspoken, J.J. Weeks, Big Daddy Weave, and Miel San Marcos. Enjoy life-changing messages by Pastor John and Matt Hagee. So mark your calendars for Feast 2024, October 18th through the 20th. For more information, call the number on your screen or visit jhm.org/feast. Feast 2024.
You've been watching Hagee Ministries. If you need prayer, call our prayer line or visit our website. And now, your blessing with Pastor John Hagee.
Lift your hand for the blessing. And now may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. And may the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And may the Lord be gracious unto you and give you his peace. As you submit yourself to Jesus Christ, may the anointing of the Holy Spirit come into your heart, into your life, into your family, into your relationships, and cause you to be blessed heart, soul, mind, and body in everything that you do. In the authority of Jesus' name, receive this blessing. Amen. You're dismissed.